Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. You know, one thing that is constant in life is there will always be change. And changes could be buying or selling a home, the loss of a loved one, marriage, divorce, it goes on. But when you find yourself on a new path, whether planned or unexpected, what you know is home is shaken or shattered. So this is clear. How you process a change will impact the trajectory of your life. Moving Forward for Life with Rosita starts now. Hi, and welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. I am Rosita, your host and founder of Moving Forward for Life. And the reason I began this podcast is to help women discover their identity, their home, the core of who God made each one of us to be. I coach women over 45 to successfully navigate over or through divorce and separation so they can reclaim their power and thrive in their new normal. The focus of my shows are topics related to self-discovery, all with the goal to help you find your purpose, get unstuck, and move forward in a life you desire. Today, I'm so excited to talk about this topic and have my guest here, Tamara Zoner. Welcome, Ms. Tamara.
Thank you, Rosita. It's nice to be here.
Let me tell you a little bit about this young lady. Oh my gosh. She is an award-winning keynote speaker and happiness trainer. She supports people who are struggling in transition to develop a deeper relationship with self and with others. She helps cultivate authentic happiness. Don't we all need that to be authentically happy? And she helps you create a life you love now, not tomorrow, not next year, right now. She's also a podcast host at Spirit Cafe, where you can enjoy conversations and stories to perk up your soul. I love that. That's so cute. Tamara, thank you so much for joining us. And our topic today is three keys to lower stress and up-level your joy. Mm-hmm. So before we get started, I just wanted to note something that I've noticed, that there is a shift of awareness, not just for unhealthy behavior, unhealthy relationships, noticing unhealthiness in self and others, but also the awareness to heal for self-care and a focus on quality of life that is so amazing to see. And I know in this transition from personal experience, finding ways to lower stress and up-level joy is essential. So Tamara, thank you that you are here and about to share these three keys with us, and take it away.
All right. Well, you know, let me by giving the working definition of authentic happiness that I use, because I know for sure that I could ask 100 different people what their definition of happiness is, and I would get 100 different answers. So we want to be clear that the definition that I work with or from is an inner state of peace and well-being that doesn't depend on circumstances. Okay. And this is very, very important. It doesn't depend on circumstances. And this is going to come into play with the very first key. And I will quote my source as Marcy Shimoff for that definition, which she calls happy for no reason. Yeah, she calls it happy for no reason. I call it authentic happiness. It's the same thing. It means that everything that you have is within you, and it doesn't matter what's going on out there. It matters what's going on in here. And it also allows for the real, authentic human experience, because we have myriad feelings and emotions, not just happy ones, not just joy, but we get sad. We have grief when we are lucky enough to have loved someone enough that their loss hurts us. And also, there's no cover up with toxic positivity, right? It's you feeling what you actually feel and having the emotional experience that this human life provides the opportunity to have. And you practice, so sometimes I call it practical happiness as well. You practice the skills of happiness to cultivate that sense of inner peace and well-being so that no matter what's happening, you're okay.
I love that. Before we move on, can you touch upon toxic positivity?
Yes, thank you. So toxic positivity is where we brush over everything potentially negative and just focus on the positive, but to our own detriment. So if there's something going on in my life that is causing me pain, I'm going to ignore it completely. And I'm just going to focus on everything positive. And it's toxic because it harms us, because we have emotions in order for us to liberate our bodies and our minds and our hearts. Emotions and feelings are meant to be felt. They're messengers. And when we ignore them, we store them in our bodies usually. And then the message gets louder and louder and louder until we can't help but deal with them because we are diseased or exhausted or something else even worse has happened and we're forced to face it.
Yeah.
And so it builds in your blood, this toxic toxicity. And we have got to, I mean, if we want to be happy, we don't have to, but if we want to be happy, we have to be willing to face even the negative experiences, as we call them, negative experiences of life, the harder, more challenging,
yes,
more energetically depleting emotions. They want their voice too.
So, I don't want to stay in this too long because I do want to hear the three keys, but this is so important because people feel like, well, I'll just stay positive and everything will happen the way it's supposed to happen. And it is toxic because I've been in relationship with somebody like that. And I'm like, not everything is great and you
right.
can't cover it up. You can't cover up whatever pain you're going through. You can't cover it up with the happiness or the positiveness because it's going to seep out, right?
Exactly. It's like that, you know, brush the things under the rug analogy, where if you keep brushing the things under the rug is going to get really lumpy and suddenly that beautiful rug doesn't look so good anymore.
Yeah.
It's time to pull it back and actually take care of what's underneath.
Right.
So that it
absolutely
lies flat on the floor like it's meant to, so that we can enjoy the beauty of it, not keep wondering what the heck's under there.
That's why you have such joy. Like your joy exudes. It's not like, oh yeah, I have joy. You know, it's, you can tell the difference when someone has authentic joy that comes from not just the heart, but from your spirit. Like you're free to be who you are. That is the best feeling ever.
That's such a vital point. I'm free to be who I am because I'm not faking it. I'm not trying to cover up what's not going right. And there are things in my life that feel hard, right? There are things in my life that make me cry tears of sadness and grief. And that's okay. I love that I get to have the full range of my emotional body and my human experience. I am so grateful for that. And that's why you look at me and you see this authentic joy, because I'm not faking it.
Yes.
Right? Ever.
Yeah. But you've worked on it.
Oh, yeah. I used to fake it a lot.
Me too. I'd be great at faking it. But it takes
too.
Work.
Yeah. And it's so uncomfortable to fake it all the time. And it's so hard. And it takes so much energy to do that. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's fine. When really you just feel like breaking. It's easier, honestly, to break because it's cleansing and freeing.
Yes, but the toll that it takes on your body to fake it, it will manifest eventually.
It definitely will. It will make you sick in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Oh, God, we could go on talking. Let's get to your keys.
Okay. Well, the first key, the first key. So there are seven main areas of happiness, as the research in happiness and positive psychology have found. And so, since we're just talking about three of the main areas today, I've picked out the ones that I feel like are the most efficient in up-leveling your happiness. And so, the first is the pillar of the mind. And in this one, I say, don't believe everything you think.
I
Just because you have a thought does not mean that it's true. And we have, Rosita, on average, 60,000 thoughts a day. The average human being has 60,000 thoughts a day. 95% of those thoughts are repeated day after day after day after day. We're just having the
love that.
same thoughts. We're in grooves in the record. And typically they're negative. So 80% are negative thoughts. And so we're just like drilling ourselves down all day. Life's too hard. This sucks. Why does this always happen to me? Oh, my partner's a jerk, or my kids don't listen. Negative after negative after negative thoughts. But they're not true. They might be true in a moment, but most of them aren't true at all. And so the key here is to question your thoughts. Don't believe everything you think. Question your thoughts. Is this true? Or am I responding from past programming? Because we all have a negativity bias where we are evolved to be aware of the dangers. And the dangers today are very different from the dangers of, 20,000 years ago. And so we haven't caught up with civilization and society as far as our brains go. And so this negativity bias is something to be aware of, that we're automatically going to catch what's negative in our lives and our environment, but it takes a whole lot longer to notice the positives and to actually register them in a way that helps to create pathways toward the positive in our neurology. Actually, it takes 20 seconds or more for our brains to register a positive in order to create or strengthen a neural pathway toward the positive.
Wow,
And
that's
it's a split
interesting.
second for the negative.
Well,
Split second. Yeah,
we're already behind the curve because we naturally have negative thoughts. So
yes. And
that's why
so
it takes work.
it does. It takes work. It takes practice, right? None of us are experts at anything when we begin. But if we practice, we can get really good at things. And we can actually do what Dr. Rick Hansen calls flip the negativity bias into a positivity bias. And there's a practice for this. So in this key, there are three ways to really retrain the brain and create a new pattern toward authentic positivity, which is first, you want to just start noticing the good, start looking for it, start seeing what's already there. Today, it's a sunny day in Michigan. That's a beautiful thing because it's not been that common the last few months. So you look for the good and you start to notice it and you start to. Then, once you start seeing it, once you start noticing it, you savor it. This morning, Rosita, there was a beautiful sunrise. I was packing my son's lunch and I looked out the kitchen window and there was the gorgeous sun rising up over the lake. And you can see it's taken me almost 20 seconds just to describe it. So, what I'm doing here is I'm locking it in. I am strengthening my own neural pathway toward the positive, and even better, I'm releasing happiness hormones and chemicals that support me. Right now, in this moment, my whole body is being flooded with what it was being flooded with this morning when I first noticed it. So it's like we get to re-experience the physical benefits of happiness and gratitude and appreciation as we remember or recall them as well. So we look for the good, we savor the good, and then because we're human, even I have negative thoughts. It's true after nearly 10 years of practicing this. But what we want to do is when we catch ourselves in a negative thought, we want to lean into three positives. We want to outweigh the negative this way.
Oh, that's good.
We want to
That's
outweigh the negative. So if I
good.
think, if this morning I had thought, God, I hate waking up at 6:30 in the morning to pack lunches, when will it be done? Then I catch myself in that thought and I recognize, okay, it's early, I'm tired. And I think, wow, I wouldn't have seen this gorgeous sunset if not for waking up early. wow, I still have my baby son who's 13 and growing up, I have him at home and I get to hug him like anytime I want to. And a third thought is, well, Saturday I get to sleep in. Yay. Right? So just catching yourself in the negative thought and then replacing it with three positives. That's the first key to authentic happiness.
Okay. So is this still part of pillar of mind?
That is all part of the mind. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Great.
it's fun too because it starts to, they all interconnect, right? It's interwoven. There's no one key that's more important than the other or that lives solely on its own. We can get into these practices of the pillar of the mind also when we're in the pillar of the heart, which is the second key I'll share with you.
Okay.
The happiest, most authentically happy people in the world live with an open heart. They are forgiving. And when I talk about forgiveness, what I have noticed in working with clients over the past 10 years is that it doesn't really matter so much if you forgive everybody who's wronged you, but it matters a lot if you forgive yourself. Self-forgiveness and self-compassion is one of the most vital areas of authentic happiness because we are human and we all mess up. We all wish we hadn't said that thing we did, or and that's where that pattern thinking comes into play, where we're like, oh, I should have done it this way. I mean, why am I so stupid? Or why did I do that? So practicing compassion and forgiveness is vital. It's vital. And it's such a beautiful way of being. And there are so many different ways to practice self-forgiveness and self-compassion. And
I
I
would
teach
say,
a bunch of those.
I'm sorry to
Go ahead.
interrupt you. I would say that when you can have compassion and forgive yourself, it's then easier to forgive others.
It is. I agree. Yeah.
And forgiveness, forgiving others is not, it's a gift for us, not for them.
Exactly.
You know,
Right.
you
It's not for them.
want to hold on to, I want to be angry. Okay. But they don't really care that you're angry. So
No.
you're just beating up yourself.
Yeah, and you're causing yourself pain by holding on to that. So if we can practice, and I say practice, right? Forgiveness is a practice. Notice I use that word practice a lot because it's all a practice. And sometimes we have to forgive the same person or the same situation multiple times, maybe every day. Maybe every day. And that's okay too. As long as we're practicing this compassion and forgiveness, and you don't have to feel compassion necessarily for that person you're forgiving. And it's very soothing to be compassionate. And this is why if we can forgive ourselves, it's easier to forgive others, because if we can have compassion for our own mistakes, then we can step ever so slightly into their shoes and see that, oh, they're human too. They might just make mistakes too. And they might just feel bad about it. Maybe they don't, but we don't know. We don't know. So we can imagine circumstances, we can imagine their thoughts, but we don't know unless we've gone and talked to them and asked them, are you sorry for this? Otherwise, we're just making things up. And that also is part of the pillar of the mind to not do. That's where you start to question those thoughts too. Don't try to mind read. Don't try to mind read.
Boundaries.
Yes. Yeah, very healthy boundaries. Very healthy boundaries.
That really helped me in my healing is the forgiveness part. 'Cause you could hang on to stuff from childhood,
Oh yeah.
right? A
Yeah.
lot, everybody, I think everybody that I know has stuff from childhood.
Oh yeah. We could all still be blaming our parents for you know, what they did wrong.
And here's how I feel is because I'm a parent and I had issues with my parents too. But at some point when you become an adult, it's good to know where the core is of where it came from, where the root of the pain came from.
Right.
And yes, our parents did wrong. I as a parent have done wrong. It wasn't on purpose. You know, we only can do what we know
Exactly.
in that time, right? But I feel like when you become an adult and you know that's the root, then go and get some healing.
Yes,
There's
yes.
no need of hanging on to this coat of heaviness, right? You just,
Right.
it's a lot. I mean, it
It
took me
is.
years to get to that point too, but I think that's important to note.
It's so important, and it's really important to find someone who that you can at least develop trust with to support you in that healing, because those roots go deep. I always compare it to a thistle plant. Right? Those are the ones that are kind of spiky. They really hurt if you step on them. But when they grow, they actually kind of look pretty when they bloom. But the root itself is so deep that you cannot just pull out a thistle and it's gone. You have to dig into the ground down about a foot and dig it
Wow.
up out, because that's how deep those roots go. And then they spread so that they stay strong. It's a very strong weed. And so is that stuff that we hang on to. So you've got to go deep, dig up the whole root, make sure you didn't miss any. And
Yeah.
then life gets lighter and cleaner and freer. And again, sometimes you have to go digging those up daily. You know, it took me years and daily forgiveness of my ex-husband for it to not be a daily practice anymore. It took years of being,
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I please forgive me. I forgive you. You forgive me. I forgive me. You know,
Yeah.
my favorite forgiveness practice is an ancient Hawaiian technique called Ho'oponopono. And it's this
Oh.
four phrases of I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And you just repeat, repeat, repeat. Like you're
Wow.
cleaning a chalkboard with those. It's just cleaning the slate, wiping everything away. And it's very healing and very soothing. And it's a beautiful practice.
Wow. And you don't have to nest. You could just do that in your own space. You don't
Exactly.
have to necessarily go to the person.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I could not at the time I was going through the forgiveness, you know, writing the forgiveness letter and all that. That was so healing for me to write the forgiveness letter to myself, to others that I felt had hurt me. But I didn't mail it. I just needed to get it out of here and out of here to release it, and then really felt like okay, I really do forgive them, and then I can burn it. Or you can send it. I mean, it's whatever works for that individual, but that took so much off my shoulders. It was incredible.
Yeah, I love that. And you can send it. I would say if you choose to send it, just have no attachment to that. You're just putting it out into the ethers, because if you expect them to acknowledge you, then you haven't truly forgiven
That's right. That's right. No expectations. Don't wait for I'm sorry. None of that. That
No.
letter is for you.
Exactly. So let it be for you. And that leads us to that final key, Rosita, which is taking responsibility for your own happiness.
Oh my gosh, we are so in sync, Miss Tamara.
So this one can be tricky for people, but it's really the most important one, because as long as we're depending on other people or circumstances to make us happy or happier, then we're giving away our power. We are just handing it over to the government, to the weather, to our exes, to our kids, if we're expecting them to make us happy. And so in this one, we take a good, loving, and hard look at our own behavior and ask ourselves, am I showing up in my life as a victim or a victor? Am I being victorious and empowered, or am I a victim and I'm just blaming and complaining and shaming? These are the three telltale signs of victim behavior. All over the place. Am I blaming my parents, right, for not getting it right? And I can never be happy because my mother was mean to me when I was a kid, or my father never loved me or ever told me he was proud of me. These are things that people say and feel. And those are valid experiences. And how long are you going to leave your happiness in the past there in the hands of people who no longer exist, whether they're alive or passed on? The memory that you have of that version of them, they do not exist anymore, except in your own mind. So, forgiveness. And then complaining, everybody knows what that sounds like, but it sure doesn't help you feel any better.
No.
Sometimes a little vent can actually release some steam, and that's okay. But if you're consistently complaining about everything and everybody, it's you're just dragging yourself and everyone around you down. And then the shaming aspect is where we actually turn blame toward us. It's self-directed blame. And this one is a killer of our self-esteem, of our joy, of our ability to even connect with other people. If I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm so stupid, or I'm too fat, no one will ever love me, or I'm such a terrible parent, we're just creating this negative cycle that we're probably actually fulfilling on some level, because we're convincing ourselves that we're horrible people, or that we don't deserve love, or that we'll just never get what we want in life. This is shaming. I see it a lot actually in older adults, especially as we get into our golden years, because the body changes.
Yes.
Our normal isn't what it used to be. Our abilities are different and more or less limited, and we get upset about this. We don't like it, so we shame ourselves. And I've seen it because I've worked in senior communities for nearly 10 years now. And what I see is people even limiting their activities because oh, my body doesn't work. I can't keep up. I'll ruin the whole event, or I'll ruin the outing, or no, you won't. Like, forgive your feet for not working the way that they used to. Forgive your hips for not standing strong. And in that case, like, what else can you do? So one of the keys within this key is, instead of blaming, complaining, and shaming, to turn it around and take that responsibility and empower yourself with this question: if I were to take a little bit more responsibility for my happiness, what would I do? What would I do? It might be go to the doctor, go to the podiatrist, get that foot fixed, or exercise a little more often, or practice forgiveness. Whatever it is for you, what could you do to take a little bit more responsibility for your own happiness and take back the power that you've been giving in? Find the solution for yourself instead of that victim behavior of complaining and blaming and shaming.
So that's what I was going to ask you. The blaming, complaining, and shaming, that definitely, those are traits that someone is
They're completely disempowered, and they are
disempowered.
showing up as victims. There's this fun video, and I know we're getting close on time, but there's a fun video that I show in my workshops of two people dressed very professionally, and they're on an escalator, and the escalator's going like escalators go, and then suddenly it stops, and they stand there looking at each other, you know, back and forth, like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And the one's like, oh, I don't need this. This is terrible. And the other starts shouting for help, but they're on the escalator. They could have just started walking, but instead they stood there screaming for help and blaming the escalator or the management or whatever, instead of just deciding to start taking a few steps. And that's what I
Exactly.
invite your listeners to do, is to take a few steps toward your authentic happiness.
Oh my gosh, we got 1 minute left. So, Tamara, thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing your wisdom. How can people reach you?
They can visit my website, alifeyoulovenow.com. And my name is pretty unique, so it's not hard to Google search me or find me on Facebook or Instagram, which is where I show up to play. And another way is the website, alifeyoulovenow.com.
Okay, great. And my website is movingforwardforlife.com. Please go ahead and check it out. There are free resources. I have a free 30-minute appointment. So remember, choosing the trajectory of your life is within your reach. You have the power and you have the choice. See you guys next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. Through my own personal healing journey, I've come out stronger and braver. I know firsthand how hard, how lonely, and heartbreaking it is to continually live in pain. As we work together, you will discover the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of yourself so you can uncover the fabulous in you. Discover what you need to come home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. Join me every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.